and everyone.
Ya manona dolcita reta.
It's good to be with you this afternoon.
Ya faldami arakamnaru reta ndwani riva.
And in the next hour or so, we will talk about water baptism. We're handing out some notes that cover last week's topic of salvation. And this week's topic of baptism. So you might have to turn through about 6 pages. You'll see the heading water baptism. This subject can't possibly take as long as 1 hour. So we will have some time for questions at the end. So if you think of a question, then remember it for the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can meet together this afternoon. Thank you for the privilege of being able to meet freely. Even though your church is not persecuted here, we don't want to treat this time lightly. You speak to us today, please, Lord. And may your name be glorified in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
When you teach on something as important as foundations, you can't teach just theory. What I mean is, what you learn today, you should apply to your life. When Jesus spoke about the wise and the foolish builder, he told the story of someone building his house on the sand. A house with no foundation. And then he said, if the storms and the trials and the tests come, that house with no foundation will fall. And he went on to say that the difference between the wise and the foolish builder is that the foolish builder is the one who hears but does not put into practice. So I speak today on the topic of water baptism. But perhaps you've never been baptized in water. You can go away saying, I've done foundations with head knowledge, but words that you don't put into practice makes you like the foolish builder. There isn't really a foundation of the Word of God in your life if you haven't applied it to your life and acted on it. So let's look at water baptism today. In Acts 8 verse 36, we see this sentence, look, here is water, why shouldn't I be baptized? A senior government official in Ethiopia's government, an Ethiopian eunuch, was going along the road reading from Isaiah. He didn't understand what he was reading. And so God sent Philip. And Philip came close enough to hear what he was reading. And he and Philip had a conversation. And he asked Philip to explain it to him.
Philip
explained from Isaiah that Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus.
And
he explained enough from the Old Testament and enough from his own experience to make salvation plain. And not only did he teach this Ethiopian eunuch enough for the man to believe in Jesus, he got to the point of explaining that a disciple of Jesus should be baptized in water. Must have been one of the most awesome conversations. A man sitting reading the Old Testament asks for an explanation. Maybe an hour later, he says, "Look, here is water. Why can't I be baptized?" He's gone from a place of not understanding. Explanation and understanding came. Faith was mixed in. And he believed in Jesus. And he wanted to become a disciple. And he'd heard about baptism. And he says, "Hey, look, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? Let's do it. Let's get it in order." It's an amazing response.
It
sets an example for us. So firstly, what is baptism? Baptism is an outward, visible symbol of an inward and unseen rebirth. Baptism is symbolic. It doesn't save you. But it's in action, a depiction, a representation of your salvation. When you go in the water, you go down into the water and you come up again. And it's symbolic. It's enacting something. It's displaying something that's already happened in your life. When you become a Christian, you are born again. And the old man is dead. You die to yourself. You identify with Christ's death. You become a partaker of Christ. And you put your hope in Him that in dying to yourself, you will be raised to new life in Him. And water baptism is a symbol of that. They speak of a watery grave. You go under the water, symbolizing death and burial. When you're buried, when you're dead, you're underneath. At least in the ground or in a grave. And that's why you go under the water. And then you come up, representing being made alive again. It's a resurrection. Baptism symbolizes your identifying with Christ's death and resurrection. At conversion, we are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 speaks of that. But that baptism isn't water baptism. Being baptized into Christ simply means
being saved or being joined with him. When you are born again, you are born of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual birth. You were dead. Dead in your sins, dead spiritually. You believed in Jesus. And God regenerates you. He makes you alive spiritually. And you become part of Christ, part of His body. But that is internal and spiritual. When you believe in Jesus, you believe with your heart and your mind. But no one necessarily knows that. God knows. It's a miracle. He makes you alive. And then you can say, like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life I live, I live by Christ. But now we are also told to make a public confession of our faith. And that's what baptism is about. It's a first step, public confession. So baptism is symbolic. As a person goes down under the water, they depict Christ's death and their own death to themselves. And as they come up out of the water, they depict Christ's resurrection and their own rising to a new life. And you can go and look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. In these notes, there's some scripture references so that you can sit with your Bible and go through the notes again and read the text. I want to encourage you to do that sometime. We could turn to all the scriptures mentioned, but then 1 hour would not be enough to talk about baptism. So I want to encourage you to go through these notes again in your own time and with the Bible and read it for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. I want to promise you the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is much better than me. I'll give my best explanation. But we need to devote ourselves to the Word of God. And what we believe must be built on the Word of God. Now the idea of symbolic baptism is not totally new in Scripture. When Israel was led out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was pursuing them. And God allowed them to pass through the Red Sea. And after they passed through, the waters closed and Pharaoh's armies were drowned. Their past was cut off. There was death behind them. Life and freedom before them. It's a type of baptism. They pass through the waters, coming out of their old life of slavery into a new life of freedom to worship God. Before you are saved, you are bound up in a life of slavery to sin. God sets you free, allowing you to worship Him in spirit and truth. And baptism speaks of that change. It speaks of that transition. Death to the past. My sins are cut off from me. Jesus has delivered me into freedom. Passing through the waters. Like
Israel.
There's another example of a baptism.
It's
a type of baptism, like a prophetic testimony. And it's the story of Noah. Noah took his family, and they got in the ark, and they passed through the waters. God sent a flood, but they lived when they should have drowned. They somehow went through the waters, and death came to all the others. Their past life was over. They started a new life again. Also in the New Testament, that flood is referred to as a kind of baptism. So baptism is a symbolic act. Showing what's happened inside. That you've been born again. And it's also a public confession. Sometimes the church makes a mistake. They say to someone, or someone says, I want to be baptized. Oh, but I'm shy. Can't we just go somewhere privately? Maybe someone has a swimming pool in their backyard. Just me, three friends and two family members. It didn't work like that in the Bible times. Like that Ethiopian eunuch. They had to find a public river or dam or the sea. And they had to get in the water and go under and come up. And the people walking past and they can see. It's not secret, it's public.
And
people understood what baptism meant. John had been baptizing. He baptized in the River Jordan. Word had got all around about those guys baptizing there. If you learn what baptism meant historically, it meant becoming a disciple or a follower of someone. So they could easily see, that guy's being baptized. He's becoming a follower of John's teaching. He's repenting of his sins. Or later on, when the disciples were baptizing into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Look what those Christians are doing. They're baptizing another convert. Those Christians that are causing all that trouble in town. We know them. They're the ones the Pharisees don't like.
Israel etin farseu.
So if you are going to be baptized,
kanu izandra wote no ande watobatisa.
It was a public stand.
De yatau yoyo apabe masule.
A declaration of your faith.
Fanambaranau nifnunau.
Opening the door for persecution.
Manuka tenon varavarana fanyulla manensianau.
And declaring to anyone and everyone that you are now a follower of Jesus.
Manambara namniza amnyulla reta we panaradi antisosenau.
I would love for us in the church to have more public baptisms. Because when someone comes to that point, I love Jesus more than anything. I don't care who sees me get baptized. I don't care who judges me or condemns me for this. Because God is for me. And I'll make it public. That's how we should feel about baptism. It's an honor to stand with Jesus. It's an honor to declare we're His disciples. We will not be ashamed. That's how it should be. So that's what baptism is. But why must we be baptized? The simplest reason is that Jesus commanded it.
In Matthew 28:19-20,
the text known as the Great Commission, Jesus gave these instructions to all of His followers. To His disciples, but to others, to all that would follow Him. In other words, if He gave this instruction to all His followers, and you're a Christian, then He gave this commission to you. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Do
you know that if Jesus commanded it, we should do it? But we get very, very clever sometimes. We start to say, well, when, maybe later. I'm a bit concerned about what my father will think. I speak from personal experience. I believed in Jesus from a young age. And I grew up in an Anglican church. Pews, stained glass windows. Big building. Pipe organ. Very religious, formal looking place. And then I got saved and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But no one had really taught me about baptism. And then I left home and I went to university. In another town. And I joined a church where they taught a foundations course like this. And they showed me from the Bible that we should be baptized. And I knew I'd never been baptized. So I started thinking about it. Not like the Ethiopian eunuch. Why don't they see, here's water, let's get it done right now. Oh no, I had to think about it. And I spoke about it at home. My father was angry. He said, What rubbish is this?
You
have been baptized. Really? He said, yeah. You were raised in the Anglican Church. And you were baptized when you were an infant, a baby. I didn't even debate with my father. I didn't know enough to argue with him about it. But I knew in my heart there was something that wanted to be more radical for Jesus. And I agonized now because I knew my father didn't want me to be baptized. And he would never understand it if I did get baptized. After a few more months, the conviction would not leave me. And I went in the church where I was a member. And I got baptized. And I don't know if I told my dad about it at all. I didn't want to have a fight. But I would honor Jesus first. I was a grown up. I was living outside of my father's house. And even though I knew it was disappointing him, I didn't want to disappoint Jesus. I don't regret being baptized. Because the Bible teaches we should fear God and not man. What confuses me is that we got ourselves into the argument or the discussion at all. How did we make things so complicated when Jesus just said, go and be baptized? And the Ethiopian eunuch just said, hey, there's water, let's get it done.
And
I want to warn you about your future as a Christian and encourage you. Try not to overcomplicate things. If the Bible says something simply, then be the man who built his house on the rock. Hear Jesus' words, put them into practice. So the first reason for why we should be baptized is because Jesus commanded it. The second thing we can say is that not only did Jesus command it, but he set the example himself. In Matthew chapter 3, we see Jesus was baptized by John. And John said, but Jesus, you don't need to be baptized. You don't need to repent of anything. Jesus said, no, it must be done. To fulfill all righteousness. This is amazing. Jesus didn't need to be baptized because he was sinless. And what we'll see just now is that baptism doesn't save us. We're already saved and we decide to get baptized. Because we want to publicly confess our faith. But here's the thing about faith. Your salvation comes from Christ alone. You believe that He lived and died for you. And that He credited you with His righteousness. So the beautiful thing is, even if you never got baptized, your salvation is secure. Because in the righteousness that Jesus gives to you, He lived the life that we should have lived. You could say he was baptized for you. Jesus said to John, I must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So whenever someone starts to make more of baptism than they should, and they start to tell you, you have to be baptized to be saved, they're wrong. They've got it all the wrong way around. It's because you are saved that you get baptized. And even if you never had an opportunity to be baptized, your salvation is intact. Because Jesus himself was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. That's why when Jesus looked at the thief on the cross next to him, and the thief on the cross says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's expressing faith in Jesus. He believes in Jesus as the Son of God. He's born again. He says to Jesus, I want to be with you. That's what he means by remember me. He says, when I come to knock on heaven's door, Jesus, won't you open it for me? Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He doesn't say, oh, we've got a problem. Yeah, you're on the cross, but you need to be baptized. Get off the cross. Stuck here. Someone bring some water. Just splash it up there. He didn't do any of that. Because he knew he had already fulfilled all righteousness. And he was able to give that righteousness to this prisoner next to him. So Jesus set the example by being baptized. And in that moment, there was something amazing that happened. It's like Jesus publicly came out as the Son of God. People saw the Holy Spirit come down and alight on Jesus. And they heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. You come out publicly to affirm your belief in God. And you confess Him before men. And He will support you and affirm you. And some Christians who don't get baptized, they're believers going to heaven, but inside they struggle. Struggle with consistency in their faith. Hot and cold. One day feeling close to God, another day feeling further away from Him. Now it's not a magic formula, but for some of those, when they are baptized, it's like they go to another level in their walk with God. I think the more we publicly acknowledge God, the more we see Him respond and publicly stabilize our lives. With Jesus' life, His ministry began after that time. At that time, John publicly declared him to be the Messiah. And Jesus showed that he identified with man's sin, even though he himself had no need to repent. And as his life would be an example of how we should live, his baptism set the example too. We also have the early church example. The first converts in Jerusalem, they got baptized. You can read in Acts chapter 2, verse 37-41.
It
says they believed and were baptized. We see also the Samaritans. The gospel reached them in Acts chapter
8.
They believed and they were baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch, Paul, Cornelius and his household, Lydia and her household, the Philippian jailer, Crispus and other Corinthians, all accounts from Acts. Wherever the gospel spread, when people received it and believed, they were baptized. But of course, baptism follows conversion, it doesn't save. Nevertheless, it was how you declared to others that you were now a believer. If we share the gospel, and there are a whole bunch of people around, and we say afterwards, those of you who have believed in Jesus, come, let's go get baptized. You'll soon see who's really a believer. And I believe it also clarified that for the early church. They knew who their members were. And they needed to be tight, close together. Because it wouldn't be long before persecution broke out. And then it would be good to know who your friends were. So I love that about baptism. And some people argue against being baptized. And say, no, that's interesting what you say. But they leave it there. I begin to wonder whether they really are saved. Why are they making it complicated when it's such a simple thing? So who must be baptized? Well, all believers must be baptized. Believers, those who have heard the gospel and received it, those who are following Jesus, disciples in the making. So when my dad said to me that I was baptized in the Anglican Church, maybe I was 6 months old. My parents took me. They went to the church. And the priest came. And he must have had a bowl. A holy bowl. With holy water. I'm sure it was quite a fancy looking bowl. I used to see that thing in the church. There was this stone platform.
And
on top a stone or a brass bowl.
And
always water in there.
I sometimes
walked into the church as a young man and I saw it. And I walked around it. Scared to touch it.
I don't
know what power is in that water. What magic is going on there. Now that I'm older, I know it was just tap water. But they took that water. And I'm sure my parents held me. And they probably splashed it on my forehead.
I was like,
"Ah, what are you doing to me?" Well, I couldn't speak. I was only 6 months old. I was just a baby. I didn't ask to be baptized. And I didn't believe in Jesus. Like I said the other day, I believed in mother's milk. It's the only thing I cared about. It was my source of life and the only thing I worshipped. And I certainly wasn't becoming a disciple of Jesus. I'm sure I was just offended that someone would chuck cold water on my head. That's a man-made thing. Jesus was taken to the temple as an infant. But not to be baptized. Maybe his parents went to have him prayed for or have themselves blessed. We read about it. Simeon and Anna were there. And they did prophesy. It was a kind of a dedication moment. But it wasn't a baptism. Because baptism for a believer is identifying in death and resurrection. And it's something you do to symbolize that you are a Christian.
Say,
you too are dead to your past and raised to new life in Christ. So who should be baptized? Someone old enough to confess faith in Christ. Some of you saw me baptize my own son, Jeremy. He's 7 years old when he was baptized. He's just turned 8. Some children maybe even genuinely believe in Jesus when they're 6 or 7. I'm not in a hurry to baptize my children though. Because Evan, my 4-year-old, he says he believes in Jesus. But he also believes in the tooth fairy. See their little ones here. I mustn't let all the secrets out now. So, the point I'm trying to make is, while Evan is too young for me to be sure if he's really a believer in Jesus, is he born again or not? I don't know. One day, when he's born again, he's old enough to know it. And he's old enough to understand baptism is an identification with Christ's death and resurrection. He can come to me or someone else, wherever he is, and say, "I, as a believer, want to be baptized." Then may he be baptized. And if somebody gets saved as a 95-year-old, they can be baptized. There's no age issue about baptism. The issue about baptism is, are you a believer? So in this church and in the Bible, the teaching isn't infant or adult baptism. The issue is believers' baptism. So perhaps you, like me, had water thrown on you when you were little. Even though my dad said I was baptized, that was not baptism. And as a young man, I was baptized for the first time and the last time. Even if you backslide and come back to Jesus, you don't get re-saved. You don't have to be re-baptized. You only need to be baptized once in your life. How many times did Jesus die? Once, and then he rose again. And when you identify with that, you go under the water once, underneath, and then you come up, symbolizing death and resurrection. If you've been baptized 5 times, don't stress, don't worry. But just now apply your faith. You've been baptized. You don't have to do it again. Sometimes people link baptism and a particular church membership. If you were in one church,
and
then you join another, the next church says, oh, we don't know about that church. You must be baptized here. It's not in the Bible, that teaching. If this church knows Jesus, and this church knows Jesus, you got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here, go to another church, you've been baptized. They don't get to baptize you again. Some churches actually try to take ownership of their people by baptizing them. That's rubbish. Baptism isn't about the church. Baptism is about someone declaring publicly that they're a follower of Jesus. Get to the question just now, but who can baptize? One believer can baptize another believer. Because in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Who should be preaching the gospel? Pastor Tanteraka?
Pastor Tanteraka.
Pastor Kim?
Pastor Kim.
Yeah, you guys are the pastors. You do all the work. You go preach the gospel. You go baptize people. It's not true. It's not what Jesus taught. We must, but so must you. And if you were in another town, and you led someone to the Lord, and they said, I want to be baptized, find water and get them baptized. You as a believer can baptize another believer. However, as a church, we'll make it easy for people. From time to time, we'll put up water, and we will baptize people. But we as a church don't have an exclusive right to the baptism thing. Any believer can baptize another believer. When must we be baptized? Back to my question of why do we make it so complicated? In a way, I would say the sooner the better. Why delay in obeying a command of
Christ?
Why analyze an instruction too much? The biblical example is that people who heard the message and received it were baptized soon. Acts 2 verse 41 implies they were baptized the same day. Also in Acts chapter 10 verse 47-48. It appears that people did not delay in being baptized. So the answer to when should be as soon as reasonably possible. And where? Anywhere that you can get person underwater. We want to be faithful to the symbolism. Gavin, who planted this church, he's told me that in the early days they did baptisms in a bathtub in the house. I hope they pushed in a lot of witnesses into that little room. I hope it was crowded and untidy. But the point is, they didn't have a fancy baptismal pool. But they found somewhere where they could get it done. It's not a big religious thing. It's a moment full of life, declaring somebody who's following Jesus. So when we do it, in the past, we've done it out here in the quad. With a rough and ready plastic tub. Not fancy. But full of symbolism. People publicly declaring they're following Jesus and identifying with his death and resurrection. So how are we baptized? We're baptized by immersion. The Greek word is baptizo. And baptizo means immersion. Historically, both biblically and outside of the Bible, the Greek language, even a language scholar who doesn't believe in God, when they look at that word baptizo, they understood it meant going underwater. But today within the church, we've got clever people who've come up with other ways of doing it. But they've lost the symbolism. There's no doubt that it is to immerse, to plunge, to go under. And because baptisms even happen in other religions, our baptism is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because it's a believer's baptism. So it's Christian baptism. It's about following Jesus. It's amazing how the world can pervert and corrupt things.
There's
There can be pagan baptisms. And half pagan, half Christian. I know in South Africa there's a group called the Zionist Christian Church. And they've taken some African tribal customs and Christianity.
And
they've mixed it up a bit. And they take their followers to the sea. And they push them underwater. And they hold them down until they're struggling. And they can't breathe and they're drowning. And they start thrashing about and fighting for their lives. They come up out of the water. And then they hit them with a stick. Because they want them to manifest demons. Because they think they can do an exorcism at the same time as a baptism. And they think all the screaming and shouting is a manifestation. Look, the demons are coming out. The person never even had demons. They're just fighting for their life because they're drowning. That's a mockery of baptism. In the name of Christianity. So whether it's a sprinkling on the forehead, like dry cleaning, as opposed to properly washing, or whether it's holding someone underwater till they're drowning, beating them. Those are ways that the church has messed up the idea of baptism. Biblically, it's a simple thing. Once down underwater to represent death, up out of the water. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In conclusion, baptism is a simple act of obedience to the revealed Word of God. And I'm
going
to leave it right there. Are there any questions? Not one saying, when can I be baptized? If you do want to get baptized, if you haven't been baptized, firstly, you must be a believer. And secondly, to make it easy, all you have to do is speak to one of the leaders, one of the elders in this church. And we will baptize you if you want to be baptized. Maybe it'll take us a couple of weeks to get the bath organized out there. I'm sure you it will be public. You will get wet all over. And it will be a celebration of your faith. Okay. God bless you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Some things are so simple and so easy. And when we've made it complicated, we want to apologize. Not just apologize, but we want to repent. And align our lives with your word. To honor you above all things. God bless us today, Lord. And lead us in this walk of faith. To your glory. Amen.
Amen.